Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with a big old green head in the profile picture. So excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies, TV shows, and I also do random other geeky films. Occasionally not so geeky ones too, and I also like to mix things up once in a while by not reviewing anything. Hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents The Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening, if they can please do sign for me. Please share the hell of this podcast with all your friends. If you don't, Hulk will be angry. Now that we have all of that important stuff out of the way, let's smash right into this episode. Hello, my Gamma friends. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Bub. How you doing, Bub?
I'm good. How are you, John?
I'm doing good. Before we get into what we're going to be reviewing today, you are going to be starting a podcast soon. So I want to give you the floor to let tell everyone about your upcoming podcast.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to be starting a podcast in May. It's called Anyone's Comic Book Podcast. It's the name is actually based on a quote from The Dark Knight Rises. Just a hero could be anyone, even if a man is doing something as simple as and reassuring as putting a coat on a young boy's shoulders to let him know the world hadn't ended. The central idea is like, you know, what does it mean to be a hero? And by extension, how could we become our own heroes? We'll put out an episode every 2 weeks to discuss graphic novels or trade paperbacks that will be engaging for long-term comic fans and new readers alike.
Okay. Nice. Cool. To everyone, check out you said Anyone's Comic Book Podcast?
Yes, sir.
Check out that when it starts airing in May. I'm excited for it. But today we're going to be talking about a very strange superhero movie, the Justice League of America TV movie from the 90s, or to be more accurate, failed pilot. Because this was actually originally supposed to become a TV show. Oh, this was something.
It was rough.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I watched. I had to pause it a couple of times, and I got all the way through. Have you seen Steel?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I made it all the way through Steel without pausing. This I was like, holy!
Honestly, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. It's not the worst superhero thing I've seen. I'm pretty sure, or at least like by Marvel or DC, I'm pretty sure still the worst or superhero thing I've seen from either of those is Fanforestick from 2015. That film was very painful to watch.
Yeah, Fanforestick's rough. I can hear you there.
I put out a joking tweet. And I think you saw probably the Discord how I actually enjoyed Madam Web. I put out a joking tweet. I was like, if you think that Madam Web is the worst superhero film in existence, you definitely have not seen this.
No. This is definitely worse than Madam Web.
God.
And I was not a huge fan. I'm usually not too picky about comic book stuff. What bothers me as by comic book stuff, I mean comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause 9 times out of 10, you know, I could see characters that I've known and loved for years on the screen, and that's exciting, even if it's not that good of a movie.
Yeah.
But you know, so, there are some things that Or it's just like, I don't know what they were doing with like Barry in this movie
Yeah,
or
what the hell? Oh my God. So, Barry, I wondered. The Flash in this film is portrayed as a unemployable doofus,
And this
which,
is 7 years after John Wesley Shipp's brief stint as the
yeah,
Flash.
like, not only do you not have like the smarts that you would expect from Barry, but also like the way they portray him in this is just so weird and awkward, or outside of the fact that it's not comic book accurate, it's accurate because you have on you they're basically trying to do the trope of this guy's eyes lazy and he has no direction in life, he doesn't and so he's unemployable, but we see he ain't lazy, he's he with the one job that we actually see him do, he does it better than anyone else, and they fired him for it. Like,
Right.
what?
And it almost felt like they were trying to like take Wally West, because a lot of times you see with Barry Allen, because early on his personality was kind of boring.
I think so.
Then Wally West came in, wait, had much more of an interesting thing going on. The DCAU Justice League was Wally as the Flash. That as I was a kid, it was Wally. And so once they brought Barry back to life in the comics, they gave him some of Wally's personality. And so it felt like they were kind of doing that in this movie. And then they were also like, yeah, but people also really like Spider-Man. And they just did a terrible job at mixing both of what's going on with both characters to the point where nothing that was good about either one was in the movie.
Oh yeah, they make this point to have like all the other characters so unsympathetic to what's going on with Barry. It's like you guys are supposed to be his friends. Why are you acting like it's like he's just lazy and that like he like he's this burden on you. That's not how friends act.
No, it's not.
You know, they
Well, is
also do this they do the same thing, though it's not something that's like brought up in the film, but they kind of are doing the same thing with Martian Manhunter because as real friends would be like, hey, this our friend can't go outside, so he probably has a really lonely life. Let's hang out with him more often, not just only come when they have to have a meeting. Like, poor Martian Manhunter.
And that is such a weird role for Martian Manhunter to be relegated to, because
Yeah.
I've always loved him. He's, I mean, there's a comic panel. I don't read that much DC, I'll be honest with you.
I don't either.
I'm usually Marvel or there's this guy, James Tynion the Fourth, that writes really fantastic comics that I'm into. But there's a comic panel that I've seen online. That's Superman saying that Martian Manhunter is physically stronger than him, which is insane, like just from a power level. And then you add in the fact that he has the last survivor of Mars mentality going on. He has all this PTSD. There's so many interesting things you could do with that character. And what are you going to do? We'll lock him in a room, you know?
And they also design I think it's an addition in this movie. I don't think it's comic accurate, or if it is I just don't know because I haven't read any Martian Manhunter comics. This was not a thing in any other adaptations that I've seen. They said that he can't be in human form very long, which I feel like is not something that's been in the case in Ice before. So that's a weird choice to particularly force him to be relegated into the ship.
Yes. To my knowledge, that is not a thing. Granted, my DC comic knowledge is not much, but also the older school comics had weird rules. Like, for example, I know this is Marvel, but if Thor put down his hammer in the 60s for more than 60 seconds, he would revert back to Donald Blake. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was one of the artificial like limits that superheroes had during the 60s
Makes
or
sense.
earlier, you know. But I'm also talking out my ass. I have no idea.
One thing that I that even though it doesn't actually matter at all to the plot, that annoyed me is the choice to make Green Lantern's outfit blue. Why would you do that?
I don't know. I
Like,
really
that's
don't.
so weird. Why? Like, it's right there in the
I'm glad you brought up costumes because
name.
I liked that they tried to be comic accurate. Because a little part of me likes to see that on screen. Usually I really don't care, but like if there's not much else going on in the movie I care for, it's like, okay, at least the costumes. But the problem is they kind of all looked like Halloween costumes. And I felt like, I don't know if you felt the same way about Guy Gardner's costume, but I was like, oh, that is actually fairly well detailed how he looks in the comics, but it was a weird shade of green.
Yeah, it's just like what I feel like his costume should be the same shade of green as the colors, as the powers he has. Like that just seems like a no-brainer to me. It was a really weird choice him having this bluish green and for his costume. But yeah, it was kind detailed. I didn't hate the costumes. They like, and I actually really like having a comic booky costumes, bright, vibrant comic booky costumes that are accurate to the comics. But I just want them to look like they're well made still. And these did not look well made.
If it looks like I can go to Walmart in October and put together a Green Lantern costume right then and there, like it shouldn't.
I would honestly say the best looking one, best looking outfit was Martian Manhunter. I think he
Yes,
looked good.
which also when I because his voice was so familiar, and I was so excited when I figure out who he was because I had to Google it. Have you watched MASH?
No, I have not.
Damn, he's a character. I apologize if I'm butchering the name. It's Charles Winchester Emerson III. And he also voiced Jumba in Lilo and Stitch.
Ah, that's why, probably why I recognized his voice. It surprised me though with this, the recognizable actors in it, the actor who played the villain, I recognize him from as a kid, my family watched the NCIS franchise, and he's in NCIS Los Angeles, and he also plays, I think, like a senator or something in Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Yeah, so but yeah, like that one surprised me. And then also I think it was maybe the character Martin, may have been the name, who was the teenager trying to get with fire. That actor was he both was the head elf in the first two Santa Claus movies,
Okay.
Bernard, Art, and he also, pretty sure, appeared in Oppenheimer last year. Or like, oh, it surprised me that there were actually some actors in this I recognized.
That actually had careers.
I think I recognized the actor playing Ray Palmer, but I don't know what it was from.
I did not. But I also am not what good about watching movies.
The I With Ray Palmer though, that interests me with that is because I have not read any of his comics. I only know him out of the Arrowverse. So it makes me wonder, is he supposed to be this awkward, funny science guy who's kind of small outside the suit, but then it has a bunch of muscles all his way is in the suit, or is he supposed to be sort of like how Brandon Ralph portrayed him? And that's interesting because I have no idea whether that was accurate or not.
I think so in terms of the power set, I know for a fact that this representation is more accurate than Brandon Routh, because Brandon Routh's character was originally supposed to be Blue Beetle, I believe. He was supposed to be Ted Kord. But in terms of personality, I think Brandon Routh's probably more accurate from what I've seen. I have never sat down and read an Atom comic, but I've read some Justice League, you know.
It is really funny to me how like out of suit he's probably the smallest of the three guys, but in the suit he's the biggest of all of them. I feel like that might be the most muscle I've seen added to a suit in a long time.
No kidding. Oh,
What were you
sorry.
gonna no, what were you gonna say?
You brought up Fire with Martin. I don't remember his last name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they even gave him a last
What
name.
the hell was going? He had a last name. I just can't remember what it is for the life of
Oh
me.
God.
What the hell was going on with that plot line? Because she was like,
Yeah.
no, you're too young. And then she was like, well, maybe. Like,
Yeah, like
talk
that
about
was
something that
so
wouldn't work.
weird.
Like, I understand. So, first and foremost, it is hard to judge a movie from the past that by today's standards. And this came out 27 years ago. For reference, I was 3 years old.
I was not even born yet.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
22? Oh,
Yeah.
that surprises me. Okay. I thought you were a little older than that. Like, and there's I and I
I
also
think it's
understand that it plays the trope of like if an older man is interested in a younger girl, that's bad. If a it's less
it's
people talk a lot less shit when it's an older woman and a younger man. It's not
that's
okay. It's
so it's
not
so
okay,
very
nobody.
weird. Like it's very strange to me that so this I'm pretty sure actually technically is not something that ever actually released at least and both this and the other unreleased is superhero film that I have reviewed though it also came out in the 90s is of the Fantastic Four film both of them have these weird age relationships. Like, what the hell? Like, were the 90s just really weird or something?
You know, for I was too young to like understand any of that shit, because by the time the year 2000 rolled around, I was 7. Right? No, I would have been 6 turning 7 in 2000. So like I had no idea what gender politics were like or anything like that. But I also know that I heard adults say shit, not in my personal family or anything like that, but I would hear adults say shit that as a 30-year-old man now, you would never catch me dead saying, you know?
Oh yeah, like one of the big things, like I did not personally hear these things at the time, but I've heard people talk about how this was a thing aimed back then. There were people who counted down to when actresses turned 18, which is just like really really messed up. They
Oh,
counted down just so that they could It could be creeps all-ish about them. It would be legal.
And they did that shit with what most recent one I can remember is Millie Bobby Brown
And
that
it's like,
people
what the
were,
hell?
yeah.
And this was, and back then, it was such an open fact that I'm pretty sure it was, I'm sure, for one actress, sorry, actually, I think it might have been two actresses of the, I think it might have been the Olsen twins, and there was, I think it might have been SNL had a clock on every episode counting down to the day that they turned 18. And it's like, why? That's so creepy.
You know how fast that clock would have come down in 2024? Like, we've made a little progress as a society. I'm at least a little happy with that.
Yeah, that's
We got to take the little victories where we can, man.
get away from this topic.
Oh, my
The
bad.
care no, it's not, nothing against you. I'm just saying we're getting off tangent, and I think it probably be it's more interesting talking about some of the other stuff in the movie. The characters of Fire and by the end of the film, Ice. I don't know if those actually were in the comics or not, or if they were original characters, because they because I'd never heard of them and before.
So, I've seen them in comics. Specifically, the only comic that I've actually read that had them in it was Deceased, which is DC Zombies.
Okay,
It's a turn your
interesting.
brain off, have a fun read. But they were also in Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
Well, at least
Well,
Fire was.
the like yeah, I feel like it was definitely if one of them were in the comics, it would definitely would have been in Fire, because that seemed like she was it seemed more likely that that would not have been an original character. But yeah, the one sign that that bugged me throughout the film that logic wise is how these superheroes didn't get caught, like, cause they Barry to get into a party, he just speeds past the person taking tickets by distracting the person taking tickets, but the people behind him would have seen him.
And on top of that, how Fire conceals her secret identity is even lazier than Superman. Like, no glasses, just I'm going to put a little makeup under my eye and no one's going to know who I am at all.
And then when the you know, with Ice, Ice, like, there are multiple characters who just know her secret identity, and that's not even brought up as if it's a big thing. Like the guy she saved in the river would would know, and the only character that they actually make a point of being like, this could be a problem, is with Martin. And it's like, no, the other characters have situations where they would have been caught too. Why aren't we focusing on all of these too?
And like, I didn't. There was so much, like, so many instances where they were like, hey, this is a plot point later in the movie. Here you go. That I was like, okay, you're just telling me what happens. Like, the first time the boss talked, I was like, yeah, he's the bad guy, you know?
I at first Ars was honestly thinking he might have been like one of the Justice League members, but Ars for a second, but yeah, as it went on, I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's bad, guy.
As our friend Brandon might say, you might be a bad guy.
One character where I'm like so confused of what they're trying to say with the character is Guy Gardner, because are they trying to say he's a bad boyfriend, or are they just saying it's a misunderstanding because she does because his girlfriend doesn't know he's a superhero? The reason I think that it might not just be this misunderstanding is because there are the conversations of how he used to be with fire, and she would have known he's a superhero, so there shouldn't have been that miscommunication. So I don't know what they were trying to go with there.
Well, Guy Gardner, like, there's a lot of jokes that he has the most punchable face in the Justice League. I mean, the way that he treated Barry, the way that he, I don't know. Honestly, he was probably the most comic accurate character. I'm not a huge Guy Gardner fan. I really think that the film would have benefited from either Kyle or Hal.
Probably.
I think John would have been too pissed. Like
It's
he would not put up with any of their bullshit. Hal
know.
is that nice, level-headed, and then Kyle's so creative. It could be interesting. I'm sorry, what were you
You
saying?
know, I was just going to say, it saddens me that they allowed Green Lantern to be in this, but they weren't willing to let him be in the Arrowverse. Like, the Arrowverse absolutely deserved it more than
Dude,
this.
did you see what the Green Lantern effect looks like? Granted, 27 years ago, don't get me wrong, I know. And Arrowverse, like, if they did that, it would have been after Flash, so less than 10 years ago. But, which, by the way, this year is 10 years since the Flash aired. That's crazy, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I don't want to see Green Lantern on the screen if it doesn't look good. I want Blackest Night, don't get me wrong. But I don't want Blackest Night if it's going to look like 90s Power Rangers special effects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. The one thing I did appreciate though with him and his powers is that at first with the first scene in this that we actually see him use his powers, I was a little worried that they were just gonna have it be this string of green throughout the whole film. Happily, he did actually create some different things with it, and not just having the string of green. He created this cover for his girlfriend, and he created a chainsaw, which he didn't even use.
That was the most pointless shit ever. The coolest construct he made. And the villain goes, huh, picks up the computer and just chucks it off a bridge. Like,
Then there's also another one that's like that he does. It's so incredibly dumb because this is not how his powers work. He can't create hologram and video calls with his powers. I was the at the fi
oh,
the
you're talking
scene
about
at
Martian Manhunter?
yes. Like,
Yeah, that
what
was
the
some.
hell was that?
And, like, don't get me wrong, the Green Lantern rings can communicate to each other like that, but I'm not aware of any apparatus that allows it to connect to other devices.
Yeah, like that was that. Oh my God. They had I feel like one side and it wasn't particularly bad, but it was very disappointing within the film is the final aisle stuff with the villain, because like there wasn't really a fight. It was like the last they just were like, oh, basically we gotta wrap this up. There's 5 minutes left. So they have most of the characters just standing around as there was a, as water comes through the city. It's like, really, you guys aren't even gonna do anything. Anything? You're not. There's not gonna be a fight really with the villain. Just get like, wow. Having that it was just the new girl stops the obviously a water from or like by turning it all into ice. That's extremely powerful ability that this really quickly if she can turn all of that into ice at once. Like
Like,
they
but she did the lake by accident. I can let that go. Like, I can see it.
I don't know. It like the I feel like I feel like they should have done the same thing that the Arrowverse did when there was a situation like this in the Arrowverse of having the Flash try and stop it by running back and forth in front of it.
There were so many ways that they could have addressed it. They could have used each character's powers to go,
No.
yeah.
Speaking of how they use their powers to stop things, earlier in the film, how does just putting using fire on a storm put it out? Put out the storm? Like, what?
Oh my God. I cannot tell you. Whatever these writers were smoking, like, I wish I could have some. No, it kind of felt like they were trying to, and I'm not gonna lie, I stole this from a review of it I found online. I feel like it was Friends with Superpowers, but just not good.
I heard this I heard people saying that, but I just don't see that because I didn't get any vibes of it feeling like Friends. The only show that I got even the slightest vibes of, and it's still a bad version of that. That if this were The Office, but with superheroes, because
Oh,
of
because of
the
the cutaways?
yes, it's still not good, but I don't by the way the characters act, though. I don't like I can't imagine thinking of it like sitcom characters or at all for any compared to any sitcom, because they're not funny.
Do you know who Mark Waid is?
Isn't he a comic book writer?
He is very well known for what he's done with DC, written a ton of fun stuff. I really recommend reading some of his stuff. But he was quoted about this movie. He was like, "That's 80 minutes of my life I'll never get back." And if there's someone who wants to see a Justice League production come through, it's someone who has dedicated their life to Justice League comics, you know?
Like, and I think the premise of doing a slightly mockumentary with superheroes could work really well for a show. You just have to actually make it be done well and make it funny, and I don't think they were trying to make this funny. It's just unintentionally funny because of how bad it is.
And you can make a mockumentary, but I don't think the Justice League is the way to go. I would go like New Warriors, or honestly, I feel like there's an angle where you can get Teen Titans to work. You can have Beast Boy be like, yeah, I'm taking a filmmaking class, you know, it's gonna be a little mockumentary, little sides. Like, cool, I'm on board.
Have you heard of the Hulk cartoon own Hulk and the Agents of Smash?
Yes, I've watched all of it.
That they did that in that show with having A-Bomb do be having be try to film them, and it works fantastically.
Oh, I really like that show.
Oh, I love yeah, I love it. It's I know it's not a very popular one among Hulk fans just because they don't like that universe of or some Marvel shows, but that one's my favorite of all of the Hulk cartoons I've seen, because I love the idea of a team of Hulks, and it's also has such great humor in it. But yeah,
It's so fun.
but yeah, they do the idea of a mockumentary with superheroes so well. This, however, just is just nope.
It's a mockumentary. My favorite thing about Hulk and the Agents of Smash, though, I'm not gonna lie, is the inclusion of Rick Jones. Like, such a cool character to have in there.
It's and it's surprising, like he's not a superhero in the comics. He's not A-Bomb in the comics. He's literally just Rick Jones. But them making him A-Bomb in that, I think, was one of the best decisions they could have made with it. He works so well in the show.
Well, and he's had multiple stints where he did have superpowers.
Well,
But
and
not typically.
yeah, he's not. But I don't think there's ever been a time where it's quite like this transformation into a blue spiky creature like A-Bomb in the comics.
I'm gonna fact check myself real quick because I thought he was, but I could be
There's
wrong.
so there is one instance,
Well, okay, one instance, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
but that one instance is literally retelling the first episode of the show as a comic.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they made a comic version of the first episode for Free Comic Book Day, a year after the show aired or something.
Which, side note, relating to Rick Jones and the Hulk, I found this the other day. Have you
Nice.
read it?
I have not. I've heard a lot of good things about it though.
So I'm a sucker for a dystopian storyline. For listeners, it is the Incredible Hulk Future Imperfect. It is basically Professor Hulk versus Maestro, which is the future dystopian dude. It is so goddamn good. That is one of those books, like I've read that multiple times. I absolutely adore it. And I'm not the biggest Hulk guy. Not that I dislike the Hulk, but I'm so behind on all my reading, it's hard for me to keep up on everything, you know?
Understandable. There's there what there's 80 years of comics.
Yes, at some point you gotta pick and choose.
I think the what else about this film?
Oh, okay. One of my beefs with this movie.
I imagine there's a lot of them. Yeah,
Why the hell was the villain's name the Weatherman?
they could have gone with other wizard and made him an actual character of the comics.
Right. And he could have been. Now, you would have known he was Mark Martin if you read the comics, but maybe they thought that sounded too goofy. But then again,
I don't think they
Weather
were
Wizard
looking.
is not as goofy as anything that happened in this
But
movie.
okay, you say that you would have known that was who that was if you'd read the comics. But I don't
Right.
think they were looking for comic readers as the audience for the show.
No.
Like this felt to me like they were looking for stereotypical CBS viewer. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, this so are you happy that you wanted to come on for this film?
This film particularly, not so much, but John, I like talking to you ever since
not
Minecraft, all that stuff. Like, you're a blast, man.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just be. I'm just messing with you because I'm like this. Like this is a film that I know you had particularly told me you wanted to come on for this. It's like I imagine part of you is like I regret this so much.
Well, I think I told you I like watching shitty movies. And you're like, I got one for you, man. And you did.
I did not see this until I watched it for the first time last Friday. I just get ready for this episode, and it's like, I didn't expect it to be that bad. Like I, with a lot of lowly rated superhero movies, I end up really enjoying them because I love things that are super campy.
Same.
But then just this, I'm like, how? How did this happen?
And it's not even old movies that I have a problem with. Like Adam West Batman movie, I absolutely love that movie. The Bat Shark Repellent is fucking iconic. I don't care what anyone says. This is a different story.
My God, it's I oh. I think I might need a next time to get you on for the League of Superheroes movie.
League of Superheroes.
That is is basically Super Friends in live action, and it has Adam West and Burt Ward as Batman and Robin in it. It
Oh, that's
looks
fantastic.
awful.
Yeah, that does sound rough.
It looks so bad.
I just pulled up some of the initial footage and I was like, oh no. Another shout out to something terrible in this movie. When the Atom shrunk down and got past that random ass laser grid that didn't even
Yes.
make sense
Oh
to be in
my
that door,
God.
did not slow down the security guard. Why the fuck did he do the limbo?
But I was wondering with that, less about the limbo. So the limbo is still not great because I think it was just them trying to be funnier side. But what I was more wondering with the logic of it is, if that's where the laser was, why did he shrink down? Why didn't he just step over it? Like, it
Well,
would have been so much easier to do that than straight down and do the limbo.
they had him like, because when he shined the little pen light, it was like on different
Oh,
levels going
I
down.
didn't see the that moment. Oh,
But the
okay.
security guard had no fucking problem. And it's like, why? I saw something else in my notes that I was like, oh, this is relevant. A positive note about this movie, because it reminded me of a fantastic comic book. This came out in 1997, and Kingdom Come came out in 1996. Maybe I've been reading too much things that were illustrated by Alex Ross, but the way they played with lights, with the clouds and the skyscrapers at the very beginning, because he does a lot in his art with like reflections and shit like that. Maybe this is a stretch, but let me have it because it makes me actually like part of this movie. I was like, oh, that kind of, when it was real bright, it looked kind of like Kingdom Come. And
Interesting.
don't get me wrong, Kingdom Come has a coherent storyline and it's
Yeah.
a good storyline. So those are two things that this does. But it was a shout out to a comic that I was like, that makes me happy, you know?
I can see that. Hey. Oh. Hey, this I even like the all the campy Batman films of the 90s.
Oh my God.
Like, even
But like,
even
do you know what
ones
killed the dinosaurs?
oh.
The Ice Age.
I even love those. And those are
They're still
definitely
so
not rated well. Like, I didn't realize how lowly some of them were rated till that I was looking at either today or yesterday. One of them is like 3.8 out of 10 on IMDb, and
probably
it's
Batman and Robin
all and I'm like,
or
but
Forever.
I yeah, probably it's definitely one of those. But even those, there are so much fun. There are so much fun to watch. This, however, is just like.
There's nothing fun
No,
about this.
doll. Oh my God.
I remember going, oh, I gotta be like halfway through the movie by now. And I went and looked, and it was like, oh, he's still got 90 minutes, or not 90, because 90 is more than the film's total. I was 30 minutes in. So I was like, oh, I have 50 minutes left.
I really wonder what exactly was the point of the other scientist at the lab. Was he just a red herring? Because like, I feel like they focused way too much on him for it to just have been a red herring. I wonder if he was like supposed to be like a bigger character as the show went on or something. Because that was really weird to me.
Maybe, but 100%, I don't know if he got the same vibe, and maybe it's because I've lived in America my entire life. But I really thought he was about to go postal. He's like, I'll show you priorities. I was like, oh shit, he's gonna bring a gun.
Oh man, there was a point where I thought, oh, where I thought, and obviously this was what they wanted me to think, and but I thought he might be a villain, and or he's a or that he would be a member of the Justice League, because because I just felt like there needed to be more with him, and like that, it particularly annoyed me with annoyed me when we have our last scene with him, where he where Flash Ash goes up to him and asks what is in this box, like that really annoyed me, because that particularly was like where we figure out that yeah, Flash is a dumbass, Ash, because he's like Flash, Ash being the supposed to be smart should have known what that was. I don't, because I'm not on someone super smart, but but since he's supposed to be a really smart person, he should have been able to be like, oh, this looks like something I know what it is, like but and another scene that really annoyed me was when Ice grabs the suitcase from Weatherman, and freezes him at her door. Instead of just running away, why don't you call the Justice League there so you guys can take the Weatherman instead of just letting him go to like that was just so dumb.
Again, why the fuck does it have to be the weatherman? I don't know.
And then did they have filters like that that he would be able to just make himself on the video look like this guy who has his face covered, but in actuality he's not? Like, I'm pretty sure back then they did have filters on cameras that he would just be able to do sign like that live.
No, I wouldn't think so. No. In fact, to my knowledge, no. Because we had cameras and yeah.
It's so strange. Even if they did have technology like that, it definitely wouldn't have been something that regular people could get. And I feel like it would have been so much easier to just set up by actually covering your face and then getting on camera. Than wearing all of that stuff and it.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know if you'll agree or disagree with what's next in my notes. I know first point you will. I said Brandon Routh remains a Routh, you said. That's how it's supposed to be
Yeah,
said.
I think Ralph off is how it is. I'm not sure though.
Fair enough. I trust you. Brandon Routh remains the best adaptation of Adam uncontested.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And I would say Grant Gustin also remains.
Yeah, he's still the best.
And no offense to John Wesley Shipp on that, because I actually like his iteration of the Flash.
Oh yeah.
Fuck Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
And fuck whoever the
Oh,
hell this is.
like I was like as I was watching this, I'm like, huh. Ezra Miller is a shitty person. How much lower does that make his actual or their actual performance as a Flash? Because do I consider their performance as a Flash as the worst, or this guy's performance as the Flash the worst? I'm not sure.
Well, and you could recognize, like, in my opinion at least, you can recognize that Ezra Miller's performance as the Flash was better than this guy's.
Yeah, I
But
think
I'd rather have this guy as the Flash because fuck Ezra Miller. You
yeah,
know what I
it's
mean?
yeah, like but for ranking ranking the Flashes, I'm just like, which one I'm not sure which make some rank lower. The fact that act that one of them is a shitty person, or that one of them has just an absolutely awful performance. But I would be absolutely fine with ranking him above of Ezra Miller, just for the fact that Ezra Miller is a is an absolutely awful person. Oh God.
I think I'm just ranking mine straight by performance, not stuff that happens behind the scenes. Don't get me wrong, I don't support Ezra Miller.
Yeah,
I'm
I
really glad
understand.
he's not going to be the Flash anymore. I've really fucking wanted to be Grant Gustin, but it would be very definitively for me going Grant Gustin, John Wesley Shipp, Ezra Miller, and then this fucking guy. Which I guess I should probably look up his name.
The Kenny Johnston.
Which, by the way, my favorite part is I'm on the Justice League of America film page on Wikipedia, and it says Kenny Johnston as Barry Allen, the Flash, unemployed. That's all it says about
Yeah,
it.
but like, oh God.
So.
I talk, I mentioned the all how it looks awful. The Or Legends of the Superheroes thing with Burt Ward and Adam West, but while this has a 2.9 out of 10 on IMDb, that actually has a 5.4, so it might actually be more enjoyable than this.
I can believe that. So maybe I'm trying, maybe my brain is doing gymnastics to try and give this movie credit for something that it doesn't deserve. But during the movie, I was actually thinking about, like, why would they have Barry's friends acting this way towards Barry? And I almost wondered if it was meant to be like a poorly constructed metaphor for mental health. And when people have poor behavior, like Barry's behavior issues are based in his powers, right? Something he really can't control at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they would have been trying for that,
That's
just
fair. That's
because
fair.
it's just because I don't think most things that were planned to be TV shows in the 90s probably put that much thought into it. But yeah,
You
but
got a
it
point
could
there.
be it could be side that you can take away from it. So I just went on to the trivia section on IMDb for this film. Apparently, Miguel L. Ferrer, who's the person who played the bad guy in this, he actually went on to play Weather Wizard in Superman the Animated Series right after this.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He actually, wait, no, I'm not sure whether it was before or after. I figured the it might have been an episode later, but yeah, because the Superman the Animated Series he started airing 1 year before this. But wow, like you could have just called him the Weather Wizard. Oh my God.
And like that would have been one of those little things that, like, especially comic book fans in the past. It's different now because we've had the MCU. We've had Batman versus Superman, which was not, in my opinion, a very good movie, but it was a big movie, right? But we're having all these things that cater to people who give a shit about comics or comic book movies, or superheroes in general, I guess. I know in the past there was like almost a like, holy shit, that's a superhero on the screen. And it was such a niche kind of thing at some points that like I completely lost track of my point. I ain't even gonna lie, my bad. But I think that, oh yeah, I've got it. Movies that were not as good could get away with doing certain things for comic book fans that they could never now, because I would argue that a lot of comic book fans are pretentious assholes at this point, and they will not let shit slide if it's not exactly what they want. And it's like, we are not the only people who care about this, you know? I'd rather share my interest with someone who has never once read a comic book in their life than have it be exactly what I expect it to be all the time, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, so I was just looking at the director of this, Felix Enriquez as Alka, and I was like, let's see what he's done since this. Like, I can't imagine he did anything that's great. If he made side like this, but he's actually been a part of some pretty big things. Like he was he directed episodes of shows like CSI, Law and Order, House. He did episodes of the Blade TV show, that came out right after the
Oh,
Wesley Snipes
yeah.
films.
I had that on DVD.
He did episodes of Battlestar Galactica, he did in Breaking Bad. He did he did, let's see, some other things, like absolutely crazy, that The Defenders.
Wait, the show itself, or
He directed one of the episodes of the Defenders.
which was honestly one of the weaker ones of that, but
But
some of those are just
still,
crazy. That's crazy.
it is so good compared to he did the penultimate episode of that, the second to last episode of it. Wow. Like, what happened with this?
He needed a paycheck. He was like, superheroes? Fuck it, I'll take a
God,
paycheck.
and and the writers, heirs of it, have done some decent things afterwards as well. It's like, what? Just everything about this is just like, how did you guys do this? This, but when you actually have the ability to make something better, God, oh man.
That's insane. I don't know.
But I try, like, is there anything else that we should talk about with this film?
I can't think of anything. Yeah, that's all I got.
I hated that awkward scene at the beginning where they're the where the where Tori slash Ice was talking with Aki, with the villain, about how attractive each other are. God, that was awkward.
Oh God, that was so weird. Not that you're not attractive, but like, I mean,
Like, oh God, why?
and it was that conversation. I don't remember even what he said because I'm not gonna lie, every piece of dialogue in this film is forgettable. But there was something he said where I was like, oh, okay, he's the weatherman. Got it. You know, or because you'd seen him on the screen, the villain at that time. Right? Except
I'm not sure whether we had or not. Hey, that we may have, I don't know.
either way, it was like the first set of dialogue he had. I was like, yeah, that's him.
There's one thing from the the interviews which just made me just be like, what the fuck? Which was when they said that when Ice and the Atom were talking about how to prank a friend of theirs, they shrunk him down, turned him into an ice cube, put him into their friend's drink, and then he
just
got
burst
big
out to
again.
scare the shit out of them as soon as they're about to take a drink.
Like, that's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but I'm not gonna lie to you. If I had shrinking superpowers, you could bet your ass I would do that same thing. Or just like
No,
sneak
you're
under
not.
someone's.
But you're also like, but also, it's they said they got big right as they took a drink, which I imagine would have been painful as he got bigger, because like he would be like headbutting them as he got bigger. Like, God, oh man, oh the.
I'm not gonna lie. If
Yeah,
I had size changing powers, I would be pulling all kinds of
I
bullshit button
understand that.
pranks.
Yeah, I would probably
Yeah.
too. But it was just not like just hearing that. I was just like, "What?" I think the last thing I really would like to mention is for the film is none of the team has chemistry with each other. Like
Nope.
they are, they don't feel like they're actually friends.
And honestly, I think the character that I think was the best was probably Fire.
Yeah, she was probably the best, and I actually would be interested in seeing her in other stuff, possibly after this. But like the rest of them was just like, yeah, you're just all so bland and boring.
Well, and I could see they really wanted to play into the fire and ice thing, but
Yeah.
like.
But if they wanted to play into that, I feel like they would have made them be the ones that talk to each other a lot, and not her with the Atom, and like, because I would
Yeah.
I feel like, though I didn't hate the idea of her and Atom together, but I think if you're trying to go for or this fire and ice thing, you're gonna want to have some interactions between those two characters, and I'm pretty sure there might have been one interaction the whole film.
One fucking interaction, and it would have, if they were trying to set up a TV show where they were kind of the central stage, because just like in a lot of ways, if you look at Legends of Tomorrow, for example, Sarah Lance and Mick Rory were very center stage, right? So you could do that with Fire and Ice, but you have to establish in the first episode a reason to give a shit about their interaction. And if it's fire and ice, maybe they fucking fight in the first episode. There's things you could do, but they just didn't really capitalize on anything they had going on in this movie with really any of the characters. But at least they did okay with fire.
I'll just say, so I'm end of this episode. Just any final thing that you would like to say?
Don't watch this movie. Us talking about it is
Yep.
infinitely more entertaining than that. And
Yeah.
that's not even like a flex in any
Oh
way.
man. Yeah, there's some films where it's just like it really gives you a different view for watching anything that we're getting currently, because it shows you like, yeah, any criticism you have of what we're having or what we get currently, it is not that bad compared to to some of the stuff that we've seen. Like,
No kidding.
hey man, like pretty sure like ever since Endgame, like I would see like every other thing people being like, oh, this is the worst superhero thing that it's ever come out. I'm like, you've really watched that little a little stuff that you think this is the worst.
And like, even if it's not this, have you seen 1990s Captain America?
I have not. It's one I'll probably watch at some point, but I have not yet.
I have it on DVD. It's bad. He throws a frisbee, and like, I mean, his shield is literally a frisbee, and like it bends at one point on ca the camera, and he steals someone's
God.
car. Like Captain
Oh,
America steals a
like,
fucking car.
God. It's just like, I hate the term of watch more movies is usually, but I do think in situations where people are like, this thing is the worst, the absolute worst, I think that's actually one place where it is valid to be like, you have not watched enough movies if you think that this is the worst.
And yeah, it's entirely okay to tell people, hey, you know, there's some perspective I've gotten from watching these other things. You should do that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that at
So
all.
honestly, I would not say, not to, you should watch these things that I've watched to change my view on these things because, wow, I've watched some bad stuff.
Like, this movie makes, and my dear friend Whitney is going to be upset with me for this if she hears this, but this makes Thor: Love and Thunder look like Endgame.
I actually, I like Thor: Love and Thunder, but I will admit it's not the greatest. It definitely has problems, but to say it's some abomination, like some people will say, it's like, really? You really think that? It's the thing that's an abomination to have come out. I
No,
remember after,
Abomination is in the first Hulk movie.
I remember after that, after our Thor: Love and Thunder came out, there were people, because they hated that film so much, there were people who were comparing Aaron Taika Waititi to Hitler. Like, seriously,
Hey,
you
that's
just
the internet,
dislike
though.
the film,
That's the internet, though.
but I'm just like, oh my God, I get it. You didn't like the film. It is not actually nearly as bad as you think. And maybe my view is skewed because I have watched these watched a lot of these horrible films. But I've also and but and also I'm someone who I enjoy most things that I watch a lot more than most people.
I would agree with that.
I know most people hate the live action Dragon Ball movie. I watched that as a kid and I enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't something amazing, but I enjoyed it. Enjoy it, which I do have this view of enjoying things so much more than most people, but I don't think my taste is that strange that it's like that that every all the films I enjoy are just actually just bad or something.
Right.
I think most people are just way too overcritical about things.
And like movies can be bad, but good. Like we talk about Batman, Robin, Adam West. Those are so bad they're fun.
Yeah,
You know?
it's like I'm but yeah, I will absolutely admit I am someone who does enjoy things a lot more than most people, and that also should really tell you how bad this film is, that I did not enjoy it.
I was for sure watching it and I was like, oh no, I'm trying to make this podcast where it's like a really positive community and it's going to be a place where comic book nerds who like aren't fucking pretentious assholes can come together and, you know, share their love of comics, right? And I was like, I'm going to be as positive as I can with this movie. And I watched it. I was like,
No, that's
what do I
impossible.
do
It's
with
impossible to be positive about them.
this? I wanted to like it.
And my enjoying stuff more than most people, it's simply something that it's always been a part of me. When I was a kid, I enjoyed stuff so much more than the rest of my family did. If we would be watching films, and I could fall asleep in the middle of the film, randomly, and still have enjoyed my time watching it. And that's just who I am. I think there's a lot of times where I've had situations where people think I'm like lying just to so I can promote positivity, and like I as if I didn't actually enjoy something as much as I did, but no, I just enjoy stuff a lot. I just love watching movies.
And there's a conscientious mentality you could have where your disposition is like, I'm going to have a good time with this. And most of the time, you could find something you like and go, like, there's a reference to a comic that I really like in Eternals. Other than that, I think it was kind of drawn out and weirdly paced, had to the point where it's kind of boring and had a lot of issues with it. But I love that movie because it referenced that one comic. And it's one plot point, and it's like, shouldn't be that big of a deal. But at the same time, like, it makes that a movie that I enjoy rewatching, you know? And that's a conscientious decision where I'm like, I'm not just gonna sit here and go, I paid for this movie, I'm not gonna fucking like it. Like, no. I'm getting my money's worth. And I'm just not gonna be that guy who's pissy about everything, you know?
It honestly really does sadden me the way the superhero movie community has become, and how as well out people outside of the community, they look down on superhero movies. It's like it's really not as bad and as bleak as you think it is. Is there every movie that Marvel or DC is releasing now? You can at least find something to enjoy in it, whether it's a lot of people hate the Justice League version of the Justice League movie from 2017. I can still enjoy watching that. That is a million times better than this.
I gotta say, what's his face? Ben Affleck. I really like his interpretation of Batman. I like how Henry Cavill plays Superman. I do not like how the DCEU wrote Superman.
No, I don't either. He was way too dark.
Yeah, like it just wasn't. And
Oh God. Did you
I'm
see?
not a super religious person, so it didn't help. But the fact that did you see him fly out of that fucking alien ship in Man of Steel? Like he was on
Oh
the
God.
cross, and it was like, this is
Did
so
you?
heavy-handed in the symbolism. I'm sorry.
Did you
Continue.
hear about did you hear the interview Zack Snyder did on the Joe Rogan podcast? He said that he was basically saying that he actually believes that Batman should kill.
Oh yes, I
Like,
did
oh
see
my
this.
God. Like,
Well,
dude.
and then there's the that because that was the one where he was like, "Yeah, the first thing the executives told me is Batman can't kill," and he was like, "So you know what I wanted to do? Like,
Like
you deal with a
I
fucking
understand.
cultural icon."
I understand the want to have the struggle of deciding whether to kill or not in a film, but you actually have to have that struggle. You can't have it just be he kills and doesn't give a fuck about it. He should have some kind of mental turmoil over that if he's going to do it.
Or at least they could go, you know, they wanted to make it work in the Snyderverse. They could totally have Batman killing and then someone go, yeah, Batman kills people. Well, he's done that ever since Robin was killed. That's like, oh, okay, that's darker, but okay, I could see where that is. I want to hear that story, but I can
He
see why
also
that's there.
said in the same interview, signed that is incredibly weird and gross to me that he wanted to do. Because this like he said that for the Watchmen movie, He wanted to have a child actor and a nude actress in the same room for a scene. I'm like, what the hell? That's so strange.
That is weird. That's fucked up.
Yeah, like, you don't, they wouldn't allow him to do it. Do it. So he tried to get his they said that the only way that they will allow him to do that if the boy if the boy has is the it's the actress being nude is the boy's mother. So he was like, "Hey, Barbara, you want to get nude in front of your son? Like, what the hell? How do you actually think that's an okay thing?" And then thought that was a funny story to tell people. Well, all these years later, like, I would not like
I would
I
bury that
obviously,
shit fucking deep.
yeah. If I like, I would not absolutely never or do something like that. But if I did, I am not telling a single soul ever that I did that. Because like, how little shame do you have that you thought that's okay, and that people are gonna want to hear that as a story?
Right.
Oh man.
That's insane.
We have really got rambling after this
Oh
review.
shit.
It's no, it's all right. It's all right. I don't mind a long episode. And I'm just saying, like, wow, we've I said I was winding this down a while ago. Oh man. All right. Well, thank you, man, for coming on the podcast. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and again, everyone, check out out the Anyone's Comic Book Podcast when it comes out in May. That I know it's gonna be an awesome time. I'm over there, and I'll probably be coming on there at some point too. We'll just talk about some Hulk.
Hell yeah, you will.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. If you like this game analysis, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes. Please let me know. Again, don't watch this movie. Do not. For the love of God, do not. If you like listen to more from me, please subscribe. Many more game analysis from me coming, so keep on the lookout. This is your host, Smash Trivia John. Signing off.